And a very good morning to you. Welcome into today's programme. We have another resignation from Fianna Fáil taking place on this programme as we speak. Also today, the Esker facility is closing immediately, at least 30 people homeless. Today also we're looking at participants who we need to get involved indeed in some research when it comes to dementia in County Galway. We'll be looking at that. Safe Home Ireland as well, we're looking at a seminar taking place there. And the Minister attended a meeting on disability in Tuam on Thursday. We're joined by Olivia Rooney, who was there, and the Minister herself, Anne Rabbitt. There's an economic symposium taking place in Carna. We're looking at that on today's programme. Deirdre Brown joins us. We're looking indeed at the Bar Council of Ireland. We've Galway greats that are Margaret and Tom Duggan, and a sports review. That and more between now and 12 midday. Just don't go anywhere else. Now, very good morning to you. Welcome into today's programme. It seems to be the programme of resignations across the board, I have to say, but I'm joined in the studio by Fianna Fáil Councillor Noel Thomas, who sits opposite me today. Noel, good morning to you.
Good morning, Keith.
Are you still Fianna Fáil Councillor or former Fianna Fáil Councillor at this stage?
Unfortunately, I'm a former Fianna Fáil Councillor at this stage, Keith, yeah. Just yesterday I sent my official resignation to Fianna Fáil, and I also sent it to the chair of our Fianna Fáil group here in Galway, Mary Hode, as well, just to let her know. But
So you're following in the footsteps of Seamus Walsh then, who has done similar?
I am, yes. And okay. I think there's more across the country, I think, that are following the same footsteps as well. But I mean, look, from my own personal perspective on this, I mean, like, I have been involved in Fianna Fáil for like 30 years at this stage. So it's been a long, long time. So this is not a decision that I took easily.
Yeah.
And to be honest, I feel this morning after, you know, thinking about the official resignation I put in, I actually feel a bit hurt that I have to, it came to this at all. Like, you know, it's been, as I said, a long, long time. My life spent, you know, with good times and bad times of Fianna Fáil, but I always stood up there and defended them when times were bad and you know, and out canvassed with them on the roads and everything.
You've been a member of Fianna Fáil for 30 years.
I haven't been a member, but I've been involved in Fianna Fáil for 30 years, yes, from canvas and local stuff.
So what brought this to a head then?
I suppose it's this party. We have to go back just a little bit further, because the party, I suppose, has become something that I don't recognise anymore, to be honest with you. I think I just can't sort of understand how they've become so detached from the people of Ireland itself. I mean, they don't seem to have any association with them anymore. And that's something that really bothers me, in your opinion, but I mean, there's no one better than myself to give an opinion. I've been involved in them for so long, like, yeah. You know,
but you're hurt also indeed about the way that you've been treated following the Ross Lake Hotel incident, which you had nothing to do with, but you're hurt over that too.
Yeah, well, it all comes back here. I suppose what kicked it off is, I suppose, the lack of communication when that incident happened. You know, the first communication I got from Fianna Fáil was on the 22nd of December. Now, prior to that, all I was hearing on the media was, you know, the disciplinary action being taken against myself and my colleague, Councillor Walsh, but nothing official from Fianna Fáil ever. So that was kind of hurtful in itself, like, to be hearing things secondhand like that. Mm-hmm. But then finally, on the 22nd, they sent me an email. I just might read it out quickly for you just to see what they said. So it says, "Dear Noel, I am writing to confirm that the Party's Rules and Procedures Committee is examining the public stance and utterances made by you surrounding the Ross Lake Hotel incident last weekend. The chairperson of the committee invites you, as an initial step, to confirm that you condemn unreservedly and without equivocation the damage which was caused to the hotel, and to confirm that you agree that that there can be no explanation or excuses made for the people who caused that damage. Furthermore, can you confirm that you participated in a blockade of that hotel? We note that you confirmed this in an interview this week. Some of your public comments in relation to this matter have caused considerable controversy. The committee will consider the matter and be in contact after receipt of your response." Now, Keith, straight away when I got that email, I came back to them, I responded to them. I asked them to explain what were the utterances I was making, to what were the controversial remarks I made. And
from the top of my head, and I haven't listened back to log in this one, you were not very complimentary when it came to the fact that there was a bereft amount of information being given, and you were just told in advance of the people going into Ross Lake, and you were quite critical of the government over that.
I was, but as I said to you, again, back to the key issue here is, I mean, I asked them very clearly what it was I said or did
that
upset people,
back,
and they could never answer that question. And as far as I'm concerned, is that if somebody wants to investigate me or take disciplinary procedures against me, the very least they can do is to explain why they're doing that. They're doing this investigation into me. That's not a hard question to ask. Like,
it is, yeah. But so can I ask you then the hardest question I want to ask you? Well, not one of them. Have you left before you were pushed?
I honestly don't know whether I was ever be pushed, and I don't think I would have been pushed, to be honest. You know, but I said to you, just the differences have become too big now at this stage. Yeah. I don't know, Keith, to be honest with you, why they failed to communicate with me all the way through this. I said it was only a junior member, say, of Fianna Fáil organisation who the liaison officer for the council was the only one that ever communicated with me. Nobody senior inside in Fianna Fáil has bothered the backside to come
Secretary
and communicate.
General
with me.
Or
nobody.
The president
no, nobody. Okay. No, so it's quite amazing how they've handled this. But look, it's like Keith, I said, I thought there's more of what caused this in the end. Like, I mean, I was at a CDC meeting there and going back to
CDC being?
Cole Dáil Cancer meeting, so it's kind of okay. The whole organisation of Fianna Fáil for the Galway West, like, right? And we had a meeting in the Forge one night, and like, as I stood up at that meeting and I said, I explained to people like what was happening. I suppose the most thing that spurred me on, I suppose, to leave again would be the fact that the first man out the gate to actually condemn me for what happened and everything was our own Micheál Martin. No, he phoned me the night after the incident. And like I said, I'm not going to go into details
of
that.
It was a very frank conversation.
Yes, exactly.
Believe, yeah.
Exactly.
And you left no stone unturned.
No. But anyway, that's okay. Yeah. So the next person to come out the gate then was our Senator Timmy Dooley in Clare. So he decided to try and attack myself and Councillor Walsh actually online, on X or Twitter. And I honestly could not believe it. He got tore apart in a matter of minutes by the general public. They absolutely tore him apart to tell him he was wrong in what he was doing and taking a stance against us. And then the third person out the gate, and the most hurtful as far as I'm concerned, was our own local TD, Deputy Eamon O'Queeve. He came out on television and radio and condemned us as well, told us we were wrong for what we were doing. So there was no need in the world for the man to do that.
So obviously then this pent-up anger brought you to yesterday when you wrote your letter of resignation then.
It did, yeah. And I said to you, the hardest thing I think I ever wrote, to be honest with you, because, you know, that's the final straw. That's when you finally become detached. You're giving away 30 years of your life.
But you said to me at the top of this, you know, that you were entitled to your views. They're entitled to their views too.
But, and of course they are. But
I mean, Timmy Dooley and Eamon O'Queeve and Micheál
Martin.
But
let them explain their views. You know it yourself, Keith. Look, in relation to one of the most controversial views all the way through this was the fact that I said that the inn was full. Now, at that CDC meeting the other night, Eamon O'Queeve, actually, I said it to him. I told him, I said, Eamon, I said, you were wrong, I said, in condemning me for saying the inn is full. Because I said, the inn is no longer full. I said, it's overflowing at the seams at this stage, I said. You know, and what I meant by that, Keith, all along, just a very quick explanation is that when we opened the floodgates here, the time of the Ukrainian war, we let in a huge amount of people, you know, who were not fleeing war. And then we ended up now in the situation, in the sad situation, where now there's people who genuinely need our help, we have no place to put them. Okay. And that's why you see tents on the side of the roads here and everything else. It's a mess.
Okay. Are you joining Independent Ireland?
I haven't decided yet fully where I'm going. I've had a couple of offers, I'll have to say that, with different groups, but I haven't decided fully now yet.
Would you go to Fine Gael?
If you've got the process of elimination, Keith, all I can say to you is I definitely will not be going to Fine Gael. I definitely will not be going to the Green Party. Anything to do with this government at the moment, I will not be.
Would
definitely not joining them.
Will you go to Sinn Féin?
No. No, I will not. Nor people before profit either. So I suppose the options I have is
independent
either
independent
or an independent grouping. Yeah. So that's the offers on the table at the moment.
What's your gut?
Gut? I don't know, Keith, to be honest with you. I really don't know.
Are you going to go on the local elections?
I'm definitely going to go on the local elections, yes. Yeah. So I'll be making up my mind as the week goes on. You know, I suppose before the end of the week, I'll probably have decided, I think, at this stage.
Will you go in the general election for Chuck the Dola?
You never know what'll happen. We've got to wait and see. No, well, I suppose, look, the first thing is get over the local election. I mean, if you don't make it over the local election, then it's definitely a sign that you won't be going any further anyway. So, But it's
a big decision that you've made. Some of the comments coming into us today, which I'll give to you, is well done to Noel Thomas. And this caller said, Keith, sorry, let me go there. You made the right decision, Noel. We were fully behind you. Somebody else said, Mr. Thomas has to look at his conscience. He obviously doesn't like people coming in to live in his area. This is never a reason that the premises should have been damaged. You had nothing got to do with that.
Exactly.
Another caller said here on Discord into me today, I'd like to endorse Noel Thomas. The public will be behind him. There is far too much secrecy going on in these parties, and it's about time somebody spoke up from there. And another caller said, isn't it great to hear Noel Thomas, a breath of fresh air, and we wish him well in the future. So there's a mixed reaction there.
It's such, you know, you get a mixed reaction, Keith, but the one thing I am very confident about is the decision I'm making.
Yeah.
Because like only late yesterday evening I was talking to another councillor, another Fianna Fáil councillor, who will be making an announcement very soon as well in relation to leaving the party. And his concern was, he was asking me, you know, whether he was, you know, going to lose votes or whatever in relation to this. But like, I couldn't tell him from his own perspective what his career in the future was going to look like. But from my own perspective, all I know is the absolute vast majority of people are fully behind what I'm doing today.
Well done, Noel Thomas. Finally, a man who speaks up for himself, and well done from there. Another caller said, Keith, well done, Noel. You speak for us, and thank you from there. And there's many other calls coming in there, including, please tell Noel Thomas to stop talking about Eamon O'Queeve, a great man and much more experienced than all of them put together.
That's fine saying that, but I mean,
okay,
Eamon O'Queeve shouldn't have said what he said, you see, you know what I mean? So that gives me the entitlement to talk as well if I want, you know? So we won't,
just now. So you'll make up your mind by the end of the week. If I'm a betting man, I'd say definitely you're going with Michael Fitzmaurice into Independent Ireland, but you can say yes or no, or you can phone a friend, or you can kick for touch.
We'll decide that, as I said, now by the end of the week, definitely.
All right.
Look, Keith, before we go, I just want to thank yourself, as I said, for all the times I've been on the radio here. I think you've always treated me very, very good. And I think I hope that whatever you decide to do in the future goes very well for you. And we look forward to the last hurrah with you for the debate before the council election again. And I know now that I've been so nice to you, you'll be very easy on me on that day.
Two chances. It's bittersweet for you today.
Really, it is, like, it is, yeah.
Today, but
as I said, yeah, it's a very strange feeling, like, you know, there's a slight bit of relief at the end of it too, you know, because I mean, I said to you, I couldn't just go out, you know, very quickly and make this decision. It took a long, long amount of time, a lot of thinking and sort of, you know, delving into the past in relation to Fianna Fáil and everything like that. And then, you know, to finally make that decision, there's a small bit of relief involved in it. But as I said, like, there is also a great amount of sadness as well. I mean, look, in particular, it's the older members of Fianna Fáil. All the members who inspired me to join the party many, many years ago, like, those are the people that I really feel the worst for, like. And in particular, I mean, I think some of the real founding members say that I would have got my inspiration from the very beginning, like, they've passed on at this stage. And, you know, I would actually hate for them to ever have seen what has come to the party now at the moment.
All right. Councillor Noel Thomas, congratulations on your decision, and thank you indeed for... thank you indeed for joining us today, Keith. And the going gets tough, the tough get going. That means they knuckle down and improve things from within, not run away because they don't get their own way. Fianna Fáil has let us all down, this caller said. Another caller said, it's very hard for me to vote for any party tainted by the burning of private property.
And just make a comment on that,
nothing
Keith,
got
don't
to
mind?
Do with it. Yeah, go
yeah,
on.
Just when talk about the going get tough, the tough get going, whatever. But like, the way I look at this is, I've got an option here. I can sit back and I can stay with Fianna Fáil and we can continue on the way things are in this country, or we can actually take a stance and try to make a difference.
Okay.
Maybe that means joining another party to try and to create a new party that's going to make changes in this country. And that's a tough decision. You could take the easy road and just sit back and relax and enjoy the ride. But I mean, no, I'd prefer to stand up and be counted and try and actually make a real change. But
to me, looking at you and from listening to you and speaking with you last night, I think the relationship is over.
Definitely, unfortunately.
I think the divorce has taken place.
Yeah, well, now that relationship, Keith, now again, is specifically only with, say...
Key people.
The top people in Fianna Fáil, really, and truly, they have destroyed it. So.
All right, listen, thank you for joining us today. Keith. And that's Councillor Noel Thomas making that decision today. Another decision has been made, by the way, by the fire officer for Galway City and County, indeed. And I want to go live to Mairead Seary, who joins me on the line. Mairead, good morning to you.
Good morning, Keith.
Thanks for joining us. Now, the Esker facility, which housed an awful lot of Ukrainians in the last long number of months, indeed, is set to close its doors. When are those doors set to close? The fire officer wants it closed?
We understand that it's going to be on the 6th of April, Keith, that the building must be vacated by the 6th of April. So we have 2 weeks now. These people have 2 weeks. They've been told by the department that they are going to be given another location to live in by the state, but that could be anywhere in the country, and they won't have any choice in where they get to go to, you know. So look, CURVE, this is the group that I'm the chair of, that's the Committee of Ukrainian Residents and Volunteers in Esker. We're putting out an appeal to the local community. We've been busy all weekend. on social media and talking to people and announcements read out at mass, just to put out an appeal to see if there might be someone in the local area who may have an offer of accommodation that would allow some of these people who have formed really strong links with the community, you know, to stay in the community and to keep their jobs here and to stay in schools and, you know, to finish out their courses before the end of the academic year.
And how many
people? That's what we're looking for, Keith, at the moment.
Absolutely. Now, it's about 30 people, and then there's 15 employees, and then within the facility of Esker as well.
Yeah, that's right. I suppose, yeah, because, you know, for the last 2 years almost, you know, people, we had about 150 people arrived there first. So, you know, there were catering facilities, there's a management company in place, there was security in place, all of those services that had to be put in place. So, you know, that's it's a big bolt, I suppose, for those people as well who are going to lose their employment. But I suppose even greater, you know, that's where our concern is for the residents, the Ukrainian refugees who, you know, were displaced from their country through war. About 2 years ago, they arrived to Esker in July, in July 2022, and this has become their home. And now they're facing this second displacement. So we're just putting out an appeal to see if we can minimize that displacement for some. You know, it won't work for all of the people. But if we could manage to keep some of those Ukrainians locally, the people who want to stay here because of their ties to the area.
And can I ask you, just out of the 150 that were there, and we're now down to 30, where did the 120 go to?
Well, they all went in different directions. Some people returned to Ukraine. Some people found alternative accommodation in Ireland. They were offered accommodation through the Irish Red Cross. As you know, people can pledge an offer of accommodation, and it can be offered then to a refugee. That's one of the government supported schemes, but then that can be anywhere in the country. So many people did spend some time in Esker before they got an offer, and then they moved to that situation. Or indeed, many of the people, you know, did actually relocate within the community. You know, some of the people who were living in Esker are now being hosted by, you know, people that they met through the community, through, let's say, their involvement with the community groups, or, you know, we've had lots of volunteers working with us in speaking groups. And this was people formed relationships, they got to know each other, and they felt, okay, this is something that I can do, you know. So there's a hosting scheme available. I know a couple of months ago you had people on your show talking about that, and that's where you know, a homeowner might invite someone to live in their house with them, and the government will support that with a payment.
So just I mean, so this is the decision of the fire officer, is what you said to me this morning when we were talking about this.
We believe that's the case. That's okay, what so our understanding is.
So it's a health and safety issue. So thank God there was.
Yeah.
Thank God there was.
Yeah, absolutely.
When I was at full capacity at 150, and I was there.
Absolutely, 150. Yeah.
It was tough going for some of them. So it was. It really was tough enough going for some people there.
It was. Yeah. There was a lot of pressure on. You know, resources were very stretched for 150 people. I suppose that pressure has eased in the last few months. And, you know, we've worked hard to build good relationships with the management company there, and, you know, and with catering staff, and things have worked very well in the last few months.
You're to be commended, you and the group, you're to be commended, because I know there was a young man indeed that I was very impressed with when I met in July, and I think he's gone to college in Dublin now and being looked after by a family.
Okay, that must be Maxime, I think.
Fine young man, I have to say. Listen,
thanks to everybody. I just want to say thanks to all our volunteers and to everybody who's cooperated with us in the last 18 months, because, you know, we've done it with the support of the community. So I suppose this is our last big effort here for the people in Esker.
All right, but if somebody in the general area of Esker, Athenry, Crockwell, that whole area there.
Yeah, absolutely. Any of those areas,
Any
they
of
can make
areas.
Contact with us.
Yeah. What's the best way of getting in contact with you, can I ask you?
So, you know, we have an email address that's very long. I'll read it out. EskerUkrainianVolunteers@gmail.com. Or there's two phone numbers that I could give out, Keith.
Please do,
And they can ring either of those numbers. So there's 086-377-6924. And another number is 087-796-4067. And someone will, you know, if we don't answer straight away, we'll get back to you And, you know, we've lots of, I suppose we can put people in contact with, you know, if a homeowner is thinking, oh, you know, I could maybe offer of a spare room and I wouldn't mind having, you know, somebody living with me, you know, we'd be able to, you know, put them in contact with somebody who's already done that. So they'd get a chance to talk through, you know, the things that people need to be aware of, because we understand that's a huge, it's a big decision for anyone.
It is. So 0863...
For both the homeowner and the Ukrainian person.
086-377-6924 and 087-796-4067. I leave those in reception, so if somebody's driving today and they say, maybe that chalet that I have, maybe the kids have moved out, maybe I can do something here to help. And again, if they give us a call here on 091-770-077, we can give them the numbers from
there. And just to say, even if it's not available immediately, you know, we might just start a conversation. It might work out in a couple of weeks or in a month or two that, you know, that the Ukrainian person may have to relocate for a time, but we may be able to bring them back to the community. So it's just to start that conversation. That's all we're asking people to do. They're not, you know, signing up to anything, but we'd love them to get in contact with us and we'll have a chat.
Right, Siri of Curve, thank you for joining us. If you can help in any way, please call us here. We can give you those two numbers again, which is 086-377-6924 and 087-796-4067. Good morning to you. Welcome into today's programme. Simone Ryan sits opposite me today and she's an occupational therapist and she's looking for participants living with early to middle stage dementia in County Galway to take part in a university research project that she's involved in. And Simone sits opposite me today. Simone, morning to you.
Morning. Thanks for having me in.
Thanks for joining us today. I suppose when you hear of dementia and all of that, you kind of get, you know, but you're looking for participants on this one and it's for 7 weeks.
Yeah, so we're looking for people living with early to middle stage dementia, so they're kind of at the earlier stages of their diagnosis journey, to take part in a research study. So we're carrying out what's called cognitive stimulation groups. And what that involves is a series of activities and discussions that aim to stimulate the mind, challenge the memory, and with a particular focus on maintaining skills in everyday life. So the group programme will run for 7 weeks in the university, and we're really just trying to see whether it's effective or not in improving and enhancing function in people living with dementia. So we'll take part in a variety of different practical activities like cooking, baking, gardening and so on.
Now you work in this field as an OT?
So at the moment I am doing a research master's, so it's kind of a full-time master's at the moment, but I do have experience working closely with people with dementia and their caregivers.
And again, 7 weeks, and it's an in-person event.
In-person, yes. So it'll be in the university and I'll be running the groups and it'll be on for one session a week that's around 2 hours long for 7 weeks. And they'll get one-to-one kind of interaction with myself, an occupational therapist, and also they'll be with kind of around 5 to 6 other people with dementia. So they'll get kind of peer support from each other as well.
Yeah. And again, what are you hoping to achieve at the end of this? Is it that the work that you do as OTs and the program that you're doing can give them a quality of life that they can continue day-to-day living?
Yeah, so there's a lot that we kind of hope that people will get out of it. So firstly, there's that peer support element. So meeting people who are in a similar situation to them and kind of learning from each other and also connecting with one another. And also we hope that, you know, through the activities that we do, that we can kind of give people the opportunity to take part in things that they've maybe stepped back from. So often people with dementia who are having problems with their memory or their thinking take a step back from activities that they haven't really taken part in. So they might find things a bit more challenging. So maybe if they're used to cooking a meal for their family, often their memory can kind of make that a bit more effortful or a bit more challenging to take part in. So we kind of give that opportunity to them and to take part in those activities, but also hoping that, you know, these activities help stimulate their mind and help to delay kind of further deterioration within reason. And overall, the main aim of the program is to maintain skills in everyday life. So we'll go through different strategies and techniques to kind of help encourage their participation in everyday tasks.
But again, your research is one aspect of it, but when it comes to dementia and all that goes with it, there's a huge amount of work being done in the background as well, like what you're doing now.
Yeah, exactly. There's a lot of research going on in the field of dementia at the moment, and my part, I suppose, is just a small component of that overall research, but we're hoping that it does aim to enhance, you know, quality of life.
But it's an important one.
It's an important one, hopefully.
It's one where people need to be honest and frank. So will you assess them beforehand and assess them afterwards then?
Yeah, so if people are interested in taking part, they'll have to carry out a series of assessments before and after the group. So these assessments will look at kind of their memory, their everyday activities, their quality of life, mood and communication. And we'll do those assessments before and after and compare the results after the groups to see whether the groups had any benefit for them.
So, a body of work. And how long will it take you to, after the 7 weeks then, I mean, because it's a master's, it's going to take you some time to get through this.
Yeah, so the master's will run until the end of August, but I suppose for participants themselves, they really only have to take part in the overall study for around 7 to 8 weeks.
Yeah.
So it's hopefully not too much of an ask for people to take part.
How can they sign up to this?
So they can send me an email and I'll give them a call. So my email is s.ryan72@universityofgalway.ie. So they can send me an email and I'll pass on more information.
So s.ryan72@universityofgalway.ie. .ie for there. So s.ryan72@universityofgalway.ie for the details. And you'll get back to them fairly quickly.
I'll get back to them.
Yep. So you'll get a good reaction to it. They have to be brave though, because they're going to benefit from this.
Yeah, and it is a big step, especially for people who are at the earlier stage of their diagnosis, kind of, that acceptance piece, but also meeting other people can be quite daunting. But we're hoping that the groups will be enjoyable and it's a nice way to connect with other people in a similar situation.
It really is. And again, there's nothing physical. There's nothing intrusive. This is research.
Yeah. So there's nothing really physical, I suppose it's more just kind of giving people the opportunity to take part in things that are enjoyable to them, with the hope then that it will benefit them in the long run.
Yeah, so further details can be had, sryan72@universityofgalway.ie for further details. Simone, thank you indeed for popping into us today, and the very best of luck to you. Simone Ryan joining us there in studio, and again, if you want to get further details on that, give us a call here and we can take it from there as well. Simone, thank you for joining us today. We lost a great listener, a great supporter of the programme, by the way, because Desmond, we know him as Des Nolan of Annadowl, indeed passed away following a short illness, and a mighty man, I have to say, a native of College Road, an educator, did everything in life, kept an eye on Annadowl for us and the general area down there. But our thoughts are with his wife and his family today, and his sister Nuala, that we know as well here. Nuala was on to me yesterday just to let me know that he had passed away, and I couldn't make it last night, Nuala, and I won't make it today because his mass is on today at 12 noon and burial afterwards in Annadowl Cemetery. But may he rest in peace. An absolute gentleman of gentlemen, an educator, and just a general nice person. He would write to me at least maybe every second month, or he'd call me every second month with a story or an update on a story or otherwise. So may he rest in peace. He's gone to heaven. Absolutely, definitely. We're back just after these. Now, very good morning to you. Welcome on into today's programme. A very special event is taking place this coming Wednesday, 27th of March, between 2 and 6 p.m. at the University of Galway. And social inclusion in action for returning Irish immigrants as well. It's a very special event by Safe Home Ireland. And it's the strategic plan and a launch and seminar hosted in conjunction with many people indeed. But you're going to have the likes of Dara O'Brien, TD Minister for Housing, and many others involved in this. It's been put together by Karen McHugh, and Karen joins me on the line today. Karen, good morning to you.
Good morning to you, and morning to all the listeners.
Thanks for joining us today. You have two panels, and they're fairly heavy hitters right across the board. What are you hoping to achieve with this on Wednesday 27th, between 2 and 6 in the University of Galway?
Well, a couple of things, I guess. Number one, we're hoping to have a conversation that can, I suppose, for the first time, look at some of the issues affecting returning Irish immigrants. They often aren't a topic of either review or discussion, so we think it's really important to put it, on the table, to look at what are some of the challenges, what are some of the issues facing those who are abroad who seek to return home.
We've covered it many times on this programme, Karen McHugh. I mean, it can be very difficult to get driving licences, insurance, house insurance. Mm-hmm. I mean, if you don't have a track record, we've dealt with a lot of problems that people have come home to and have regretted coming home because of those problems.
That's right. Yeah, there are, I suppose, many challenges and obstacles that people face who are still abroad considering returning home. And I suppose what we want to do is to, I suppose, raise these as issues that need to be addressed. Some, I suppose, can, you know, it's a joined up thinking. So it's not just ourselves on our own, but we hope at a policy level that some of these issues that are affecting people can be reconsidered. In 2018, there was an independent research undertaken by Indicon, which looked at some of the barriers and challenges. And there were over 30 recommendations from that piece of research. And, you know, some have been addressed, but many haven't progressed. And I guess COVID was in the middle of all of this as well. So, you know, we want to start a conversation again. We are contacted by people all over the world who would like to return, but some of the issues, and particularly you mentioned there about driver's license issue, it is one that keeps coming up, and more recently for people in the US who are thinking of returning, that they have to come back and, I suppose, go back to be a 17-year-old again,
yeah,
to take the lessons, to do the test, when they may have, you know, have been driving for, you know, over 40 years possibly, or as long as they've been in the States, they've been driving. So that's just one of the issues.
But can that not be smoothed out though, Karen? Because if they have a driving license in the States or the United Arab Emirates or Australia, mm-hmm, or New Zealand, I mean, they've got a driving license, so they don't need to go through the 17-year-old in them again to have to go through all this again. Yeah. So why can't that just be, you know, from a European point of view, can it not be smoothed out?
Well, this is something we are looking at other states, and we understand France and Germany in particular have reciprocal arrangements with the US. So it is something that we, you know, are really keen to raise at a policy level again, because initially people had to do the 12 lessons, and I think there was a little bit of a concession given that it would be 6 lessons. So, you know, 6 lessons nonetheless at €50 per lesson at least, depending on where you live, and then the test. You know, it's also a very, very expensive route for people. And I suppose we are also concerned that, well, we know now the current Taoiseach, Simon Harris, it has a campaign at the moment looking for 750,000 has been allocated to try and bring our construction workers back from all over the world. So, you know, we know that will come up, not just the license issue, but all of the others will equally come up if people are to return home. So I suppose it's the seminar in particular is to actually generate an actual public conversation. I'm not aware that there are many seminars or conferences looking at the issues, looking at the needs of our diaspora. There has been global civic forums and some other research report findings that have. But we wanted to bring people together who are, I suppose, the key players in the field, as you mentioned at the outset, our partners that we work with here in Ireland. You know, you mentioned the Crosscare Diaspora Project, the Irish Council for Persons Overseas. There is Citizens Information Board, the Returning to Ireland section, the Kevin Bell Repatriation Trust, which that panel is being moderated by HelpLink Mental Health, who are based in Galway. So they are key players who know the issues and are being contacted by Irish Abroad how they can have a smoother transition home. So, you know, we want to raise the issues together so that, you know, there is power in joined up thinking so that we can actually hopefully take this further. And, you know, others, Ireland, I'm not sure if you're aware, is the loneliest country in Europe. So we have a panel on, I suppose, looking at the issue of loneliness and the psychosocial supports that are required. And the key players, again, are Social Prescribing Galway. There are social prescribing around the country, but we have Galway Social Prescriber there. Sage Advocacy.
When you say that Ireland is the loneliest, what do you mean?
Well, there was research carried out a couple of years ago, and Ireland is, while we are the land of 1,000 welcomes, we are equally reported to be the loneliest in Europe, the loneliest people in Europe. It is quite staggering, and I suppose that is was done across Europe in 27 member states, and Alone, who some of your listeners and yourselves will know, have been quite active on the ground looking at the whole issue of loneliness. And the UK appointed the first ever Minister of Loneliness, and it is one of the campaigns which will be spearheaded, or is being spearheaded by Alone and other partners, to actually look at the whole issue of loneliness in Ireland. It was, I suppose, exacerbated by COVID, where people, you know, were housebound, were alone, and didn't have that context. So we know in our work in Safe Home Ireland, our outreach work, that there is a huge amount of loneliness and isolation around the country. So yeah, it is a real issue. It is a real problem. I suppose there's not enough time to talk about the whole research about loneliness, but our seminar will have a panel discussing this. Why is Ireland the loneliest? What are some of the factors? What are the barriers? What has been done, and what do we need to do to address the issue of loneliness? So it is, I suppose, we are looking at the real issues on the ground here, and we're delighted that we have partnered with the University of Galway and the Irish Centre of Gerontology, and you know, they're supporting the work that we're doing, and there will be a key speaker as well, just around the whole issue of growing old positively as well. So, you know, there's a lot of topics being discussed. We have, from our own Return to Immigrants Network, Alan Riley and his partner, Oksana, who returned from Oman, who will talk about some of the real challenges and the issues that they faced when they returned just a couple of years ago.
So if you want to get further details, is it open to many, Carmi QC, of Safe Home Ireland?
It is open to everybody. It is an in-person event. There is the option to attend online as well. However, we do believe in the in-person, the power of meeting to discuss these issues. So obviously anybody who's able to come on Wednesday, it's from 2 to 6 in the Institute of Life Course and Society, and that's in Dangan, Upper Newcastle Road in Galway. Mm. Contact, I suppose, ourselves at Safe Home Ireland, 098-360-36, and it is also booking on Eventbrite. And I suppose for those, perhaps some of your listeners overseas, if they would like to attend online, they can either drop me an email, karen@safehomeireland.com, or ring our service, and we can send the online link as well. But, you know, it is something that, I suppose, since we've advertised this, we've had a number of people from abroad who made contact asking for certain issues to be raised as well. Mm. So it's,
Dara O'Brien, TD, indeed, Minister Dara O'Brien, Minister for Housing, Local Government and Heritage. Are you kind of hoping that he might come with the magic bullet when it comes to the lack of housing, that these people are finding it very difficult? I came across somebody at the weekend, and they are paying €2,400 a month for an apartment in Galway City.
That's crazy. I mean, that's not sustainable, is it?
I don't know how they can do it.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I suppose, you know, we're not saying there's going to be any magic solutions, but if we don't have the conversations and raise the issues, then, you know, to I suppose, represent those abroad and to advocate for those abroad who, I suppose, we're in that position that we can put a bit of pressure on and we can have the discussions. And I suppose on another aspect of the work that we do in Safe Home Ireland, we initially were set up in 2000 to support older Irish-born immigrants return. Yeah. So we work directly across the whole country in the area of housing for age-friendly housing, which we, I suppose, support a person while they're still abroad, apply for that process. So it is something that's quite unique in terms of the service that we offer. And obviously we have a number of people in Galway City and Galway County on our housing list as well. So it's raising the issue constantly.
Further details can be had from Safe Home Ireland, and their number again is 098-360-36, 36036, and it's an 098 number. Karen, let us know you got on, and good luck with it as well. This coming Wednesday, 27th of March, between 2 o'clock and 6 o'clock. Now, the wonderful people in Arran Island Ferries, you can cruise to Inishmore from Galway City. It recommences on Good Friday, this coming Friday. And again, you could be in with the chance to win an overnight as well in Ordaina, a guest house celebrating 40 years in business. But each and every day this week, including Good Friday, and we're with you on Good Friday as well, we're going to give you a chance to win ferry tickets for two people from Rossaville Ferry to any of the three islands, valid year-round, for 1 year. Or you can go from Galway City Docks to Inishmore, the Cliffs of Moher on the way home, And terms and conditions apply as well. Valid from the 29th, this Friday the 29th to September 22nd. That's when that runs from Galway City. The end of week prize, by the way, so we'll have a daily winner who will be winning themselves tickets. And the end of week prize, the overall winner will win themselves a one-night stay at Ordaina Bed and Breakfast in Inishmore. Beautiful family-run bed and breakfast, beautifully appointed, with spectacular sea views, located in peaceful surroundings, and an ideal place to relax and explore the island as well. Now, I'll give you a clue to call, so I will. That cue to call, I'll give it to you in a few minutes' time. Or maybe not. I might wait for another little bit longer. But do stay tuned for that cue to call, indeed, that you'll get. And we'll tell you about it when we do it. And then you could be in with a chance to win those tickets. And I think it's lovely. I mean, if you get tickets for two people, then you want to bring the kids. You can buy two extra tickets and make it a very affordable day out. Leaving Galway City or leaving Rosseville, it's just superb. It really is. And I'm delighted that they're back up and running again from Good Friday. Right through until September, as we said to you there. By the way, thanks to Frank Downs from the Irish Guide Dog for the Blind Association. He's our regional coordinator here as a volunteer, I have to say. He was here before me this morning, so he was, and he had a lovely piece of framed piece, indeed, just thanking me for all the work that we've done together down through the years. We've done a lot, back to the Amphicats and otherwise, but thanks to Frank Downs for popping that into us this morning, and popping in, indeed, so early in the morning. He was out bright and early, so he was this morning, but it's a lovely piece that I will treasure, actually, into the rest of my life. So thank you indeed, Frank, for that as well. Now, though, yet to come on the programme, we have a lot, including, don't forget, Galway Greats coming up just after the 11 o'clock news, and that's going to be the Duggan family from Renmore. So they'll be joining us on that. Stay tuned for that and more to come. Now, though, let's head towards the 10 o'clock news and join the team there. And we're back just after that.